turn yours on, I'm in your mind.
Well, we got part of it on here. We'll get some of it on. 15 minutes of it I lost. Oh, well. Now, where was I? This prison guard. He said, the prisoners up there, they know their rights. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy, they know their rights. They know that they can get any kind of weapon and join those gangs, they got to kill somebody. So they cut your throat, and as soon as they cut your throat, they throw the weapon away and fall down on the ground and put their hands out there. I'm surrendered. You can't do nothing to them. The whole form and purpose of human government is to protect each other from to protect the common man, the righteous man from the criminal, and protect the people from the government. Now, when a government doesn't do either one of those things, you've got a real problem. Matter of fact, you have an illegitimate government to begin with. Right and wrong. Every culture has ethics in it. From the darkest parts of Africa to the darkest parts of the Amazon, down in South America, I don't care how far reaching these people are, they have morality, because it all came from where? Noah's house. All right? Now, mankind became real wicked after Noah's little jaunt in the ark, in the flood. God got rid of all the bad boys, didn't he? But there was one more still in the house. That was Ham, even though he believed. He did some bad stuff. Matter I told you that to the seventh generation, your sins will be passed on to your children. You've got the greatest responsibility to your children to live a good life and to be a good mother and father for them, because it not only affects them now, but for years to come. You can just look at families and you can see the perverted lifestyles just go on and on and on from generation to generation to generation. Sorry. But you also see in Christian homes, every now and then you get a bad boy there, don't you? Or a bad girl. But you know what your responsibility is? To give them the best environment and a godly life and godly protection, and then you leave it in the hands of God. That's all you can do. But if you intentionally are corrupt, I can guarantee it will pass on. And that's what happened to Ham's household. And if you look at Ham's descendants, what happened to those descendants, so many of them? Who built the Tower of Babel? Ham's descendants. What were they going to do? They were supposed to scatter and multiply, but what did they do? They wanted to build a big cultural center. They wanted to live in a big city. God said, don't live in cities. You live a nomadic life. I'll take care of you. Trust me every day. I'll take care of you. From death to life. All of the deadly sins of mankind knows that you shall not commit adultery. That's wrong, isn't it? Now, people will disagree with you there, too. But thou shalt not commit adultery. It's wrong. It's going to get you. It's not good for you. It's just not good for you. Thou shalt not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not kill. What was the purpose here in Noah's day? If you killed a man, what should happen? If a man's blood was shed by man, that man's blood should be shed. In other words, he ought to die. Capital punishment. That's a real deterrent to crime, believe it or not. I don't care what you say. It's a deterrent to crime. But I believe there's a lot of people that are tried for murder and they're convicted on circumstantial evidence, and that should never be. God had reason. You've got to have witnesses. There's got to be something there. If they ever convicted a man of murder, and he was convicted, if he was punished for it by death, there had to be certain rules. It had to be an absolute fact that it happened and that he did it. They would never have convicted and executed any man if they had gone according to the Word of God, according to the law of Moses. No innocent man would have ever been convicted. The trespasses. We know what the trespasses are. They're written in their hearts, aren't they? The Bible says that mankind's heart can become so seared and so hardened because of sin that you no longer are affected by the sin in your life. You don't have a conscience of it. You sear your conscience, don't you? Deaden it. Put Novocaine in it. It don't work anymore. Because your soul sold out to Satan. And that is it. We, all of us being dead in our trespasses and the sins. Now the word hamartia. Now, there was a Greek Hebrew scholar, and I don't really know if you could call him a scholar because he made a mistake. Scholars shouldn't really make mistakes. But how many times do you take somebody's word for something and just repeat it when you teach? You just take the pastor's word for something, you just listen to it. And this is one word that has been misused by so many people. Adrian Rogers. He's great. That's a great big man. I've heard him say this before. Even Roger Spradlin. Phil Neighbors. A lot of people say that the word hamartia means to miss the mark. You go to some lexicons, it's going to tell you that. But if you go back to Hebrew and you go back to Greek, you're going to find out a different story. The word hamartia. Now there is a word in Hebrew that means to miss the mark, and that word is chapa. I'm going to write it in English. That word means to miss the mark. And one Hebrew Greek lexicon said, translated over here, the word chapa is sin in the Old Testament, and they said the word hamartia is sin in the New Testament, and they mean the same. And so chapa means to miss the mark, so hamartia means to miss the mark. But that's not what it means at all. Hamartia does not mean to miss the mark. You know what happened in New Orleans just lately? Mara is the word it comes from. Mara means a river channel. Amara means to break all the dikes and to run over and cause flood and destruction. Okay? That's exactly what the word hamartia, it means something that has gone out of bounds and has caused flood and destruction. Now, they had dikes up in New Orleans and all over through there. They've had these dikes up for years and years and years, and they have set aside money to have them built or rebuilt and strengthened several years ago, and they've been using most of the money in the Middle East instead of building up the dikes.
They still have $2 billion left there to build.
Yeah, but it didn't get done. They knew that there was a possibility that flood would come. The word hamartia means the flood came. That means that your ungodly lust had been turned loose. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys your life. It's a destroyer. It is. It is the destroyer sin is. Go out of bounds. God set forth boundaries in man's life. And we go outside of those boundaries. Now, we always think that it's good for us over there on the other side of the fence. You ever heard of the old story, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence? We always got to go over on the other side of the fence. We always got to break the dike and get over there into the floodplain and cause destruction and damage in our own lives and our children's lives and our family's lives. We just do that. We're prone to hamartia. God, in His love, sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might die according to the law, that we might have life. Why did He do that? He loved us, yes, and that's the way He expressed that love. Now, what is God? We don't believe in three gods. I'm going to tell you that right now. We believe in a triune God. But I'm going to show you something. Chapa means what? To miss the mark. That's a Hebrew word. That's the word that means to miss the mark. It's not hamartia, okay? Before I read it, I want you to understand that. All right?
Yeah. Now, I want you to look at the trinity of things. I want you to understand something tonight, because this lesson is going to go into this, and I want to give you a foundation before we ever get go off over there, so we can understand this is the story of redemption in the second chapter. This is the story of sin in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. The Father, God created man in His image. The Father is what we call intellectual, okay? And then we have the Son. We have material, physical. All right. And then the Holy Spirit is what?
Spiritual.
Spirit is spiritual. Now, when God created man, He created in His blood flowing likeness, in His intellectual image, and in His spiritual image. All right? He did, and He was perfect too. By the way, when God created the heavens and the earth, He did not create them in chaos and bring them back into order. The whole idea, and this is where you have an early church history, in, especially in Catholicism and Judaism, they have the idea, and they got it from paganism, of what? You ever heard of theistic evolution? Huh? The source of theistic evolution is the idea that God created a chaos, and then out of the chaos He formed order. God did not create chaos. He never created chaos. He never creates sin. God created a perfect heavens and the earth, and then it became formless and void. Well, totally. It became that way. In Genesis 1 and 2, the earth, she became formless and void. Now, God, when He created angels, He created angels in the intellectual realm. Who was over this intellectual realm? Who was what we call an archangel?
Gabriel. Oh, Gabriel, yeah.
All right. Now, I want you to understand, this is real important here. Okay? That's why I'm tying all this together. Now, the Son. Who's over the physical realm?
Lucifer.
Now, in the spiritual realm. Who's over the spiritual realm?
Michael.
All right, Michael. Here we go. Now, just look at this. This goes through all, everything. Okay? Now we have Gabriel, we have Lucifer, and we have Michael corresponding to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When it says in the book of Revelation, and Jesus in the book of Luke talked about Satan falling, his fall. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 are two places. We can't go into all those things. We haven't got time for all that. We're going to do that in Bible in 8 days. You come on Sunday morning, my guys. Gabriel is a messenger who gave Daniel the information that he needed in the book of Daniel. Who made him understand? Who was it? Gabriel. Who appeared to Mary? Gabriel. All right. Who appeared to John the Baptist's father? Zacharias, wasn't it? Who appeared to him? Gabriel. All right. We have Gabriel. Messenger. Corresponding to God, that's the Father. Okay? That's the intellectual. Alright? What we call the mind. And then with the Son, who was over the material creation of God? How did the earth get all destroyed in Genesis 1 and 2? And the earth, she became formless and void.
And God cast down the earth?
Alright. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14 tells you a double star, which is called a death dual prophecy, by the way. Dual prophecy. It tells two stories at once. Lucifer is over the material creation of God. He's over the material. And then we have Michael over the spiritual. I'm going to tell you something. What is the most powerful of all the realms? The spiritual. Oh. Who always wins the, who always gets all when the angel hair and feathers fly and the tank, and the toenails go here and there? Who wins every time? Michael.
All right, Michael. The spiritual. Corresponding to the Holy Spirit. Now look at man. Okay? Man.
Man is made up in the triune image of God, and the God created everything. How many heavens are there? Three.
Boy, you just start comparing that now. The heaven that's around the atmosphere of the earth. Number one, material things. Number two is what? Out there in out in the stars and all the galaxies. Where's the third heaven? The abode of God. Just think about that. The abode of God. The dwelling place of God. The novels of God. All right. The abode of God. A-B-O-D-E. All right. Now, man is intellectual, isn't he?
I've got it.
Yeah.
Well, we don't let... I tell you what. I would like to be unhampered by sin and aging and disease. Adam, for 900 and something years, lived on this earth, and he was thinking all the time. That's the smartest man that ever lived. First of all, his teacher was God. He got to walk and talk with the Creator. Think about that. God made man in his shadow-casting likeness, his blood-flowing likeness, his spiritual likeness, and in his mental likeness. Man sinned, didn't he? Man sinned how? How did he sin?
Disobeying.
By disobeying God. Now, when his body took of that apple, or whatever it was, that fruit of the tree of knowledge, when he took of that, his physical body did it. But his spiritual self and his soul, where his mind is, all of that did it all at once, didn't it? He died dead. He began the process of dying. Dying thou shalt die, it says in Hebrew. Dying thou shalt die. Dying you shall die. You are going to begin the process of dying. Before he was living. Now how many of his attributes did it affect? His mind, which dwells in the soul, his body, which began the process of dying, and his spirit, which became dead. People in the Old Testament was born again just exactly like we are. Now, I hear a lot of people saying different than this, but people were born again in the Old Testament just like they are in the New Testament. When that spirit of God came into them and changed from a dead spirit to a live spirit, that spirit was the live spirit of God. It was no longer a dead spirit. Now that live spirit of God that lived in David, that lived in Solomon, that lived in every saved man in the Old Testament, even that ungodly buzzard Lot, you have never known he was even saved except for the New Testament says that. He was all ungodly. The spirit of God dwelled in them. That spirit that was dead became God's spirit, which is alive. That's the spirit that's going to cause them to be resurrected. Now, did God do anything to repair the material at that time? Why, if after Adam believed, he would have never died if he was going to repair if he could repair the material. How's God going to repair the material? Only in the resurrection, when the genetic structure of that old body is changed. The mind, how are we supposed to rebuild our mind? With the Word of God, by studying, by thinking on God, by praying. Every day we're supposed to renew our mind. So we've got a triune man. Now, when Adam sinned and gave over the material creation of God, by the way, Lucifer was over the material creation of God. He was the archangel. Over the material creation of God. Now, when he fell, I believe, this is my own Philipsism, okay? I can't prove this to you, but I think it is from different places in the Bible, and I'll tell you that plainly. When I'm thinking about something, I'm going to tell you this is my idea, okay? This is my idea that I'm talking about right now. I think that some of the, not all of the material angels fell, I don't believe. All those material angels under Lucifer, I don't think every one of them fell. I think quite a few of them fell. Now, on this earth, we have angels that watch over God's children, don't we? I think those are some that didn't fall. That's my idea, okay? Some of those angels that did not fall, those are the ones that God's still using over His material creation today. And the spiritual realm. Michael's over the spiritual realm, huh? All right, that's probably the most dangerous realm, because that's the most powerful. Now, God had to put some of those angels from time past in the abyss, didn't He? As far as I can understand the Bible, that's the ones from the spiritual realm. Okay? That's the most dangerous and the most powerful ones. Those are the ones going to be turned upon mankind in the book of Revelation. That's the ones that are going to be turned loose out of a bottomless pit and turned loose on the earth to torment the earth because they were too dangerous to ever be turned loose before. Now we have Gabriel, somehow the intellectual realm. All of these seances and all this kind of baloney that you see and these people communicating so-called with the dead, I think that those angels that fell and those spirits, now all along with all these angels, there's spirits involved in this. There's also spirits that are over the intellectual and the material and the spiritual realm. Spirits. There are many ministering spirits. There are angels and there are spirits. Okay? Now, people that get demon-possessed, they are demon-possessed by spirits. Not angels, but spirits. All right. Now, we talk about, we've heard in the Old Testament that Satan, and even in the New Testament, Satan entered into certain people. Now, not everybody gets to be messed with by Satan, but Satan entered into one fella. He left his doors open for him to come in. And who was that? Well, the Gadarene demoniac. He was indwelt by spirits. Demon spirits. Demonic. By the word demon means little gods. Judas. That's demonia. Huh?
Judas.
That's right. Judas. Now, we know the devil got involved in that situation, people. Because who was he going to go against? God the Son. All right. The devil got involved in it because it was in the material realm. Just think about that now. Why did Jesus have to come down to this earth and become flesh? John 1:14. Why did he have to become flesh? So he could deal, God could deal in the material realm. All right, Brother Mike.
I always thought that angels were spirits. Well, there's two scriptures, one in the Hebrew and one in the Greek, that says God made his angels spirits. And flame and fire.
All right, the word angel in Hebrew literally means king.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody real powerful. An angel is a powerful supernatural being.
Everything in the heavenly realm is spiritual.
Yeah, it's spiritual. But as far as I can tell, now, I'm telling you this, as far as I can tell, there are angels and there are spirits. The angels take on the form of people sometimes. They look like people. But spirits indwell what we call daimonia. Demon spirits indwell human and animal flesh.
In their
realm. And that's the spiritual, these spirits, all right, from all of these different realms. They want to dwell in human or animal flesh. Now, we're going to get into some of the most scary things in Ephesians, the second chapter here. We're really, some of this stuff is something else. Okay? But I'm preparing you for this. Those old carnal desires that you have, those old, what's carnal mean?
Flesh.
Flesh. That's a Latin term, carn. What is the Greek term? Sarx. All right? That old carnal man. That old material man, that carnal man, he affects the spirit world and he affects the mind.
also. The carnal man, that you think that you're doing what you want to, you are not doing what you want to do. You are doing what evil wants you to do. We were all dead and held in to death. By what? Our sins. Why don't people be saved today? Because of sin. They want to go ahead and adulterify themselves. They want to go ahead and gamble. They want to go ahead and do whatever their flesh wants them to do. They're not going to... I am not... I'm not going to do it. God's not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, they're not doing what they want to do. They're doing what they're led to do by the other side, not by God's side. Two and two. In?
Before you go there.
Yes.
Is there a difference between the word trespasses and sins?
Okay, the word trespasses means when we stumble.
Okay.
Now, well, even a child of God can stumble, can't you? Yeah. And even a child of God can sin. All right? You can stumble and fall. Everyone stumbles and falls when you're lost. Even children of God stumble and fall, but we have forgiveness of sins. Okay? If we do it willingly, we're going to get a whipping. We're going to get it. We're going to get that Band-Aid can flattened out. We're going to get it. Now, we can be assured of that, and you can thank God when He whips you. You can, because He loves you. He's trying to get you back on the right path. The word that trespasses, that means to fall down. But the word hamartia, that's where we have the word sin. That means that sin is that thing which destroys something. It goes out of bounds. Because the Indians used to say, stay on the red road. They used to go in the sweat lodge. In the sweat lodge ceremony, and they built a little path out in front of it. They build a fire there, and they tell you need to walk the red road. The red road. You need to stay on the path. And when an Indian would do something wrong, he fell off the road. He's going the wrong way. He broke his course. Okay?
So then trespass would be chapa and sins would be hamartia.
The paratomasin is the fallings beside, and then hamartia, that is when you go out of bounds. Okay. It means it's flood. It has the idea of a flood breaking its boundaries. Okay? Anything? Brother John, what did you miss? Did I write what?
This last word that you said.
Hamartia?
Yeah. That's
it. Hamartia. Okay? Hamartia. Okay? That's it. In haste. Everybody now, come on. In haste. Pote. Peripatesate. Kata. Kone. Iona. To. Cosmu. Tuto. Kata. Kone. Arconta. Taste. Uxusia. Two. Iros. Pneumatos. You can put two in there if you want to. Two pneumatos. Two. Nin. Energuntos. In. Tois. Huios. Tais. Apatheos. This is the end of the class right here. This is going to be the last verse. Because it's too big, okay? You're not going to go any further tonight. We're talking about the God of this world. We're talking about the God of this age. The material age. Why did God have to come down and break into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ to get into the material realm where He could buy it back? All right? Where He could get it back. Man had flopped. Lucifer flopped. God put man in place of Lucifer when he flopped. God placed mankind with a wonderful responsibility and wonderful glory.
too. Think about the glory of taking care of everything that's physical in this world.
It's so funny to Native American people. When the white man came to this world over here, to this side of the world, that is, they thought that they could own land. And so they, one of the first things that they did, they bought pieces of ground. They bought Manhattan Island, you know, even Roger Williams and John White, I can't say his name now, they bought land. And they made a treaty with the Indians for over land. The Indians did this laugh. They said, white people think they're buying land. God owns land, not man. Man doesn't own a pebble. Man doesn't own anything. That pebble, when the man dies, the pebble's going to be here and the man's gone. You can't own one piece of rock. Because some, if you own a piece of rock, if you own a watch, I got a watch on tonight. It's a pretty neat watch. It's a Rolex. It is. It's a Rolex. It's a Rolex railroad watch. It's more than just a Rolex. This Rolex watch here was made for the Ball Railroad Watch Company. It's a Ball Railroad Trainmaster. It's a 25 jewel, and it's a, what they call a perpetual, and it's waterproof and everything. And they made this for the Ball Watch Company when they came out with Ball Railroad watches. It's mechanical steel. And it keeps time. It's got a faster train than all the other Rolexes and everything. It keeps better time, better micrometers in there. But it's a timepiece. That's all it is, just a timepiece. We try to measure time, don't we? Gene Scott, you ever watch Gene Scott on the television? He used to put something up like this, and then he'd draw over some different colors and make the biggest mess you ever saw. We'll do something like that. I don't have different color on. Right here is eternity. Just think about this circle being eternity. When God created the heavens and the earth, was a point of time in one of the beginnings. That's when time began, as we know as far as creation. When he created angels, that was a part of eternity that he did this in. Then when he put man on the earth and the reconstruction of the earth in Genesis, the first chapter, that's what we call time. It's just a little piece of eternity. But in this little piece of eternity called time is when God broke into it in space and time. Time.
Do you think the angels were created in the time continuum that we're in, or before?
No, before. In beginnings. Now, we believe that God created the angels first. Okay? And the angels and the spirits he created first. Ministering spirits, the spirits of God. We talk about all of, you see a lot of this in the book of Daniel and Ezekiel and in the book of Revelation. Talks about a lot of spirits and talks about angels, ministering spirits. And angels are also called ministers also. A demon, a daimonia. That's what the Greek word is. That means a supernatural being. Something very powerful. It means literally a little god. Something that is supernatural, beyond mankind. Well, when God created the heavens and the earth, was out here in eternity past. That's all over here, somewhere. How long did eternity last? Past last for eternity. We can't even understand that. I mean, our minds are minuscule. Just minuscule compared to try to understand the things of God. But somewhere, back here, he created the angels, and then he created the heavens and the earth. It says in Genesis 1 and 1, Barashit. Barashit means in beginnings. That's what it means. Barashit, in beginnings. Bara, created. Elohim, all right. The triune God, Elohim. And then it says, Eth Hashemayim. F is the sign of direct object. And it says, Hashemayim, the heavens. And then it says, Wiharis, and the earth. And then it says, and the earth, she became formless and void. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, again tells us how that happened. God didn't create anything in formless. He created it perfect. God never created anything that wasn't perfect. When he created Lucifer, he created him perfect. But he created him with a volition. Every angel has a volition. God could never receive any worship at all from anything if it did not have a volition. And there will you do away with your hyper-Calvinism, my friends. It's done with. Right there, that is the way God doesn't create anything without a volition. Every spirit, every thinking thing that he created has a volition. How do we know that? Because some went the wrong way and some went the right way. God could not be worshipped. God could not be glorified in anything in his creation that did not have a volition. And he didn't create things to damn them either, Brother Harold. I'll tell you what, Calvin didn't believe that. In later part of his life, he finally smarted up a little bit. Maybe some of them Baptists he didn't kill rubbed off on him a little bit. Anyway, God created the heavens and the earth. He came formless and void. God reconstructed the heavens and the earth in Genesis, the first chapter. Then he put man on it to take the place of Lucifer. Lucifer means light carrier. Means shining one. Because he was brilliant and beautiful. Even Satan, which Satan means the one who opposes. He wasn't known as Satan until he opposed God. All right? Then he was the opposer. And he had all these other little names that God had given him. In the meanwhile, every one of them tells about some bad thing that he did. You know, when you call the one who stumbles. I have a daughter-in-law that fall down all the time. She wanted me to give her an Indian name.
One who falls down.
And I told her, she kept pestering me, what's my Indian name? Well, I named her daughter, Mint, and her son, which is my grandson, his name is Sky, and I didn't give her a name. And my son's got a name, his name's Squirrel. If you knew him, you know why I named him Squirrel. He's always busy doing something. Usually getting in trouble.
And mine's Rascal.
You're Irish. Anyway, and she said, what's my name? And I said, well, I guess say this one who falls down a lot. My mother gave her a coffee table and she fell through the middle of it. Had a glass top. Anyway, God gave Satan names that the snake, the serpent, all right, the deceiver. You know, these are some of his titles, aren't they? Every one of them is what he was. Well, God came down in the material realm to redeem his creation back. And he came down in the material realm related to it. Now here's another thing. I don't think you've ever heard this before, Brother Harold, because this comes from Hebrew, and you got to know Hebrew to say this. God did not make man from mud and dust. He did not. He made him from the same elements that he made mud and dust, but to become dirt. He was made from the same elements that God made the dirt from. Where did everything in the whole universe come from?
From God.
Every bit of it came out of God.
And in his own image.
Yeah. They just think about it. Oh, Lord. God created the heavens and the earth, and then he formed man from the same elements as he created dust, but prophetically to become dust, because he knew that he would fall. And then God chose from the... So here we have man. And what word was woman taken from? She was taken from the sides of man, not the rib. But sides, plural. Here we have another. We have the plural. She was taken from his flesh and his blood and his bone. Okay? She was taken from the sides. From man, masculine man, he took feminine man. Out, feminine mankind. All right, I don't want you to get this. This is feminine mankind. Adam means the human race. All right? Out of masculine man, he took feminine mankind. and he made her, and there's what, that one really right there, that's the woman that was made for man, right there. And she was made from him too. Woman means out of man. The Hebrew is ish for man, and ishah, which means out of man. Alright? That's what it is, ish and ishah. God took the woman out of man. Now the woman is made from the same, and woman, by the way, is a secondary creation. Not a primary creation. God primarily created man, not from dirt. If he was made from dirt, he would be a secondary creation, wouldn't he? If he's made from the dust of the ground. But the Hebrew people weren't good enough Hebrew scholars, and once the King James was made, then they followed suit in the same old mistakes. That's one bad thing about it. They followed suit in the same old mistakes. God created man from the same elements as he created the dust of the ground to become dust. And he took woman out of man. So man and woman, and then every child that they ever had, and they themselves, whenever they ate from what? The earth. The earth. Everything came from the earth. All right. So everything that made up man and everything that made up woman came all the way from Eve until Mary came from the earth, didn't it? So when Jesus came into this world, God brought himself, John 1:14, it says, Kai holoko sark tegento. It says, and the word, the Jehovah flesh, he became. Alright? He became. From eternity into space and time, and God became related to the dirt and all the creation and to man in that one swoop move when he did that. Now he could create, and not create, but he could redeem back the whole creation that he had created because he's related to it through the woman. And by the way, all the Old Testament, everybody was in every family was always a the father was the head, wasn't it? But who would be
the next to turn the head?
Huh? The next to turn the head? But who, from whom would the Messiah come? The seed of the woman, not the seed of man. Now, woman does not pass on sin. Man passes on the sin nature. Now, when Jesus was born of the seed of the woman, he did not have an earthly father, did he? Because the woman does not pass on sin, the sin nature, man does. In Adam, all sin, not in Eve, all sin. Adam intentionally sinned, and the woman was deceived. And in all that, God could bring himself through the womb of this woman into creation, into time and space, to redeem this material creation. Intellectual, material, spiritual. That he could bring this all back under his control and in his hands. He could redeem it.
Now, did a picture of that start when God slew the animal in the Garden of Eden?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was a picture of the Messiah. Every lamb was a picture of Jesus. Every shepherd in the Old Testament was a picture of Jesus. He was the lamb that became the shepherd. Also, in witches, is what it says. In witches. In witches what? In which sins, in which trespassings, then ye had walked around. We walked up and down. Peri pate sate. Second person plural, first aorist, indicative active. Peri and patio is where it comes from. Ye were energized by Satan in your walking. We have done our own things. How many people have done their own things for 60 and 70 years and finally the Lord saved their souls? It would be nice if they were saved when they were 8 and 10 years old. God could save them from a lot of trouble if they let him. God wants to save you from yourself and save you from Satan. It says, then, which is these trespasses, these sins, then we walked around according to kata ton iona, according to the age. Iona. According to the age. You know, one of these days, God is going to dwell in all of heaven. He's going to be in everything. In everything, in you all, in everything that's in His creation. Glorifying Him. His glory shining and bouncing off of all of it. But right now, Satan does that. You just look around and you can see Satan in the faces of the prisons are full of them.
Walk down the corridor of any high school.
Yeah. The God of this age, according to the age, you're not doing your own thing when you're going out and gambling, when you're going out and committing adultery, when you're going out lying, when you're going out and cheating, when you're going out and stealing. You're not doing your own thing. You're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. The age of the cosmos. Cosmos, the world system. Who's in control of this world system right now? The world system is Satan. He's over the material realm of God. That's why he's so indelibly in your flesh. Your flesh is part of this world, part of this age. You know why you're in so much trouble all the time? You know why you have those ungodly thoughts? Well, you know why you want to go the other way? It's because you're part of this world right now. The world this, tuto. According to kata, tone, arkonta. According to the rulers, the chiefs. Israel is the only nation that God ever had. Did you know that? Still God's nation. The bad thing about the Protestantism, the Protestant world, and Catholicism is their replacement theology. The Holocaust was caused by Luther and Calvin and Augustine. If you want to call him Augustine, you can't, but he's Augustine, who he is. His theology that totally replaced Israel with the church. When you talk about the Israel in the Bible, it's the church. No, it isn't. It's all about Israel. It's all about Israel. God's nation was Israel. God's nation today is still Israel. He's dealing with them again. He's getting them in place. The chief ruler of the exousios, of the authority. That's the word authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth. Tell you one thing, God's church is going to overcome it all in this age. Now I tell you what, liberalism, extremism, you know what? You can go too far to the right, too. You can go too far to the left, and you can go too far to the right. And when you go both of those ways too far, you're still wrong. Really? Extremism and liberalism has totally destroyed so many of God's churches. But they're going to stand because of Jesus. That's one thing Jesus said. Thou art Peter, but upon this rock, this great foundation stone, I shall build building my church, and the gates of hell will not wrestle her down. So we know there's going to be true believers in this age. But I'm going to tell you something about what the book of Revelation says. That Antichrist and his system is so convincing that even the churches are going to get involved in it. And if it wasn't for the rapture, they'd be carried away with it. Even the elect. What? That's how convincing Satan is. He can go to church. He does. The authority of the Eros. Eros. The heir. What is that? That's the spiritual realm. Every time in the Old Testament, every time you see in the book of Daniel, book of Ezekiel, especially the book of Daniel, When it talks about nations, every nation has spiritual forces behind them. Satan puts up who he wants. God just allows him. This is what's called permissive will of God. The Lord can get them down, but Satan's over the material realm, and he allows them to come on the scene. So
Sometimes he makes them eat grass for 7 years. But he allows people to come up and allows nations to rise and nations to fall.
Of the air, of the spirit, of the now. Tunin. Nin. I tell my wife a lot of time, I'll go with Nin.
What does that mean?
I'm here.
Oh, I'll go with Nin. Let's get out of here now. Let's go now. Now. I'll go now. Let's go now. Of the now, energizing, energuntos. Present participle, active, genitive, singular, masculine, or new, Greek, one. The energizing. In tois, quiois. Run it over just a few minutes. In the sons. This word sons here, wheels, what in the world does this mean? What does it mean? It means air. Write down air there. H-E-I-R. All right, air. What is an heir?
One who inherits.
One who inherits. You think you're doing your own thing? Just put F-O-O-L right on your forehead when you go in there to the bathroom the next time. Just write fool right across there. You think you're doing your own thing? You're the biggest fool in this world, in this age. Because you're not doing your own thing. You're energized. Your flesh is energized by Satan. You know why you want to do those ungodly things? Because your ungodly flesh is leading you there, and the one that's over the material realm in this world now, this age right now, is Satan. You're doing his stuff. The sons taste apatheos. Patho means to persuade. Apathos. What does that mean? Unpersuaded. Does God deal with every angel and every spirit? In eternity past and in the world as we know it today? Does he deal with everyone? Does he deal with every spirit of every man that ever walked on the face of this earth? Does he? Sure he does. Did Jesus Christ die for all mankind? Every last one. Some of them will not believe. Volition again, that's the most dangerous gift that God ever gave to a man or an angel or a spirit. Was volition. Yes, Brother Harry.
No, can you define volition?
Volition, it means will. Thelematos. Will. Fellow. I wish you were a will. Volition means the right to choose. Without the right to choose, God could never, ever receive any glory from anything, spirit, angel, or person, without volition. God gives all of them. That's the way He created things. He created things like that. Sons of the ones not persuaded. Satan led a tremendous rebellion, and he became known as Satan. Some of those angels and spirits went with him, didn't they? It says he brought one third of them. I don't think all of them came out of the material realm where he was. I think some of them came out of the spirit and some of them out of the intellectual realm. I told you about these intellectual realm. That's the seances and that's the soothsayers and that's the people that think that they can read people's minds, and maybe they do with a little spiritual help. How do people communicate with dead people? They don't, do they? You can't communicate with a dead person at all. That's a bunch of baloney. But I'll tell you what, these spirits have been around for a long time. They don't forget like we do. And these spirits remember everything that everybody ever said like he recorded it. They're supernatural beings. And then they can indwell a person.
Have you ever seen demon possession?
Yeah.
I had a mission in Africa. So yeah.
I saw it right here in this country. Well,
explain to indwell.
To indwell?
Indwell, yeah.
Okay.
The spirits to indwell.
Well, the demonic in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, and I think Luke also, it tells about the Gadarene demoniac there. And he had at least 2,000 demons in him. 2,000 spirits in him. And they spoke to Jesus and said, don't throw us in the abyss yet. And remember I told you earlier in this class that demons
are demons or spirits wanted to dwell in human or animal flesh. Now there are animals that are demon possessed, evidently. And humans that are demon possessed. This man was demon possessed. These demons asked Jesus to cast them out, not into the abyss or whatever, but let us go into those swine over there. They were panting. And they went into the swine, and the swine had a volition. What did the swine decide to do? They decided not to be demon possessed. So they jumped in the sea and drowned themselves instead. All right, they were smarter than that man right there. Animals, you know, they follow God's will most of the time. Well, thank you for your attention tonight. I hope you learned something from God's Word. What is the date?
Seventh?
All right. You know, I taught this. I talked to one of my students the other night, Brother Kevin Purdy. He's a long-distance student. You've never met him, neither have I, but I've talked to him all the time. And he said, you know, Brother Jim, he said, reading through the book of John, to the book of Revelation, and all the books that you've taught, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, the book of Jude, he said, you know something? Those students are getting more than they get in the advanced reading and research in seminaries, even when you were taught, even when you were teaching. Because he said, I'll bet you didn't spend time on those verses like you did back then. I said, you know something? I didn't. You're getting the best of me. I can tell you that right now. And I never thought of it that way. Always before, I'd have the students read the verses and everything, and then we'd get through the grammar and go on. And a little bit of theology, but you're getting every bit of it, people. All of it.
He should have been at dinner with his son.
Yeah. Well, that was a real delight. God bless each and every one of you. Brother Harry, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, I just come here to say thank you for this class, Father, and thank you for the lesson, and thank you for your word, and you are truly blessed. We just pray that we just continue to, you know, open up our minds and to learn, and that you continue to give it to us, and continue to bless Brother James, and bless each and one, everyone here, and that you go with us throughout the week.
I hope you got your pockets full tonight. Brother Dave.
With Mary not passing on the sins.
No.
How come they say that Jesus is the bloodline from the house of David?
It was actually through Mary. But it was through Mary through the house of David.
She was the one It wasn't the man.
But it actually went through, they traced it back through the men all that time, but to tell it, he uses different women back then, didn't it? Which were the ones of the women? Which were the ones of the women? Eve was mentioned. Who else was mentioned? Ungodly buzzards.
The prostitute.
Rahab the prostitute was mentioned. All right. He came through the womb of that prostitute. Just think about that. And who else? Who was that other Gentile out there?